Okay, the reason of this workshop, or the purpose of this workshop, is to, it's called Just How Does This Work? Hopefully, we get new members into the CEA Help program every day. We hope. We would love to see new members all the time. We ask people immediately, do you want what we want? If we're really good at what we're doing and if we really believe in what we're doing, we are also going to say, what can you do for service? And I have one of the most beautiful examples of people saying yes, sitting up here. I have a story for each one of them. I know Carol a little bit, pretty good, and I asked her to be on this skit for me, and she said yes. I know Elaine a little bit. I asked her to be in my skit, and she said yes. I know Rhonda really well. She's a dear friend in my home meeting, and I said, Rhonda, you're doing the skit for me, right? And she said yes. I have never met this beautiful woman until 8 o'clock last night. I said, I'm doing a skit tomorrow morning at 10:30. Could you be in it? She said, yes. Jenny, I talked to her on the phone once. Jenny, somebody gave me your name. I'm doing a skit at 10:30 in the morning Saturday. Can you be there? Would you do it? She said, yes. I've talked to Jerry twice on the phone. I asked Jerry, would you be in my skit 10:30 tomorrow morning? She said, yes. I met Becky at about 8:30 last night. I said, what are you doing tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning? And she said, I'm not sure. I said, would you be in a skit? She said, yes, my higher power says yes. And then she said, I might have a conflict. I said, okay, if you can make it, great. If you can't make it, great. Because I know if she's meant to be here, her higher power will fix it. Her higher power fixed it. This lovely lady, same thing, Sue. She was sitting here waiting for her roommate to come pick her up to take her to their room. I said, what are you doing at 10:30 tomorrow morning? She goes, well, I don't know. I'm going to the convention. I said, would you like to be a part of the convention at 10:30? She said, yes. So I want you to know that half of these beautiful women got the script at 8:30 last night. Now, we know what we're doing, right? Our higher power is going to do it. So be patient and understanding and know that all it takes is one little word to say yes for service. And that's what we're all about. The CEA HELP program is built on the inverted triangle. The most important person in our program is our higher power. The second most important member of our program is ourselves, one person at a time. The individual CEA HOW group meetings are at the top of this triangle for a reason. Nothing can happen. We won't be in recovery if we don't have our individual meetings. That's how important we are. The next level is the intergroups. Between 2 and 3 meetings can become an intergroup. We prefer more into an intergroup, of course. But the intergroup is comprised of the individual members, you. The intergroups are made of the individual members from the individual meetings. Then we have different intergroups in a geographical area. In that geographical area, they join, and they're assigned a number, and that becomes area 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and we have it globally, folks. We are a worldwide organization. We have an area in the Israel areas. We have them in Mexico, and we have them in, I believe, Australia and New Zealand. Okay, so it's not just the good old USA. We are global. Those areas elect delegates to come to the World Service Business Conference. And after that, members, the delegates of the World Service Business Conference elect the board members. Every single step of the way comes from our individual meetings. That's how powerful we can be. Our higher power guides us into service, and it all means service. Thank you. There's another side that I'll show later on, but it's really small, so I'm going to have it displayed so you can go up and look at it. There's a lot of myths out there, misconceptions, about how things get done or why they get done, why they are said. The guiding force of CEA Howe is our 12 traditions, our 12 steps, our concept, and the 7 tools. Our 7 tools define us as CEA Howe. This workshop, hopefully, I won't be entangled here. Oh, there I am. Okay. This workshop is on Tradition 2. I'm going to read these word for word. They are such an important piece of our literature. I want to make sure that I don't paraphrase it because I'm not in charge. Thank God for that. Okay, Tradition 2 for our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. That is said before every WSBC meeting. I mean, the conference when it gets started. It is often read at area meetings. Okay. How do we view our leadership? You know, we are in a society where we always have someone who is higher up than we are. We think we're in charge until we're in recovery. But you know, if I have a question, I go to my boss. If my boss doesn't know the answer, my boss goes to his boss, her boss, whatever, and we keep going up the ladder. Our 12-step program has it the other way around. Our higher power is the boss right away, and then the individual is the next boss, and then we go down. And that's what Tradition 2 is all about. Tradition number 9. CEA Howe, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Who is the boss in our relationship, in our membership? Our higher power. No one is ever the boss. Our higher power's already got that job, and our higher power is not willing to step down. So we have to deal with that. When we are in areas of service, we need to practice patience and humility. I know that it's really easy. I'm the oldest in my family of children, so I was born to be the boss. I was born to let people know that they were doing it wrong because it wasn't my way. And through recovery, I am able to say, hey, you know what? You do have a good opinion. You know, for a long time, my siblings never grew up, even though I did. They were still the younger ones, you know. And then I sit there, and one day I was sitting across the table, and my brother had a comment about something, and I thought, wow, you know, he's right. He's really smart, isn't he? You know, and I was able to ask him for some advice. And being the oldest in the family, you don't ask the younger ones for advice. You tell them what they need to know. When I first came into the program, did I do that? I don't know. When I was sharing, did I kind of make it sound like, I know what I'm doing, so I'm going to show you guys how to do this. Thank goodness my higher power put me in that chair. I had a really good sponsor who stuck to certain ideas about things, and I was not allowed to speak for 30 days. 3 days a week, having to be quiet, not talking at all. I mean, that was really hard for me. And it was the greatest gift my sponsor gave me because I had to listen. And I had to be open to whatever was being told to me in that program. The next thing my sponsor did to me was, what would you like to do? And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, I'm happy to just be here. Can't I just be here? No, what would you like to do? So I had less than 30 days. So I got the job of making sure the chairs were in row. And I helped get out the literature, and I did all the things that you can do. And as soon as I did my 30 days questions and I got my sponsor booklet, my sponsor said, keep your eyes open And when you stand up and qualify, you are available. And I said, no, I'm not. She says, oh, yes, you are, because you are now an expert in the first 30 days. And that newcomer doesn't want to listen to someone who has lots of years of abstinence, who has their act together. That newcomer wants to hear you say, you know, it's really hard for me to remember. It's really hard for me to level out that cup. It's really hard for me to surrender to my food every day. They need to hear that. And so I was lucky enough to get a sponsee right away. She and I learned together. You know, I guided her as much as I could. I learned humility because I didn't have all the answers. And thank goodness I had the support that I had. When I didn't have the answer, I asked my sponsor. If my sponsor didn't know the answer, she asked her sponsor, and so on the line. We are never in this program alone, ever. And that's what some of us are afraid of, is being in it alone because nobody understands us. That 30 days of listening to people share in their meeting, that's where I learned what we commonly term is our disease of uniqueness. I heard my story out of many different people. And I can truly say this, and I'm not just saying this to make a point. I'm making, this is honest to goodness truth. I have never been to a meeting where I didn't come away with one thing. I have been at meetings where I've sat there and maybe not know what was going on or maybe not agree with some of the things going on or being shared. Then someone will say one sentence and the whole bottom of my core drops. I'm thinking, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, that I've been there. And if it wasn't for people sharing that, and if it wasn't for my sponsors pushing me into getting into service, I truly don't think I would have recovery today. I know I wouldn't. I failed too many times before recovery. I got to where I wanted to be or thought where I wanted to be, and so I was cured, right? And so I didn't need that anymore. And if my husband had ever known how much money I had spent on some of those diet programs, it would have been pretty difficult in my house. Those programs can be awfully expensive, you know? So, all right. As I had said earlier, we define ourselves by our seven tools. And the tool that we are speaking about today, the tools that I think is really important and we would like to share with you is that of service. Service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. Service is coming to meetings on time, being a speaker or a leader or speaker. Volunteering to be a service person, such as a program chairperson, coffee person, treasurer, secretary, literature person, intergroup representative, etc. Service is CEA how. Service is putting away chairs when necessary, picking up after the meeting, being quiet when a member is sharing. Service is one way to get involved in the program. Service is needed at all levels and at every meeting. Service is giving of ourselves to help CEA how continue to function. Let's all get involved to help CEA how, because we all know that service is freedom of bondage of self. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Thank you. Did you hear what it said? Do you hear it when we read it at every meeting? Service is needed at every level. But where do they start? The individual meeting, putting out the coffee, putting out the literature, shoving in the chair, you know. I love the place in the big book where they talk about how it was a man of status. I can't remember if he was a doctor, a lawyer, or someone of status. And he was happy just to sweep the floor after it was done, you know. When we're in that room, as it's been mentioned many times before, we all have the same last name, compulsive eater. We all have the same disease. We have so much in common, and we need to share with each other and be of service to each other. Service at all levels. The more we know, the more willing we might be to say yes to be of service. But our higher power often has a lot of other ideas. I have proof up here. More than half of these young ladies don't even know who in the world I am, okay? And they said yes. They didn't say yes to Lorraine. They said yes to their higher power, and they said yes to the program. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Thank you. You are wonderful, beautiful women. We have a little skit we would like to offer to you to show you how the process can work. It's called The Birth of Emotion. And we would like to start out at a regular, everyday meeting. Ladies, if you could use the microphone.
Okay, so we're going to close the meeting. Okay, yeah. Close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah. Hold hands, please. Okay. Keep coming back. It works
if you work it, and you're worth it.
Okay, our meeting is now adjourned, and today we are having our business meeting. I would like to know if there are any new things that we need to bring up in this meeting.
Oh, I don't know. Do we have enough literature? Do we have enough literature? I see we were missing some pamphlets on the table.
I just brought some back from World Service, so we have restocked everything that we have. So be sure and check that out.
Do we have any forever abstinence books?
Are you kidding? I bought 20 of them.
That dull gray book, I get tired of finding and hunting for it all the time.
Well, maybe we had a brighter color on it. It would be easier to find. But, you know, your sponsor says you're supposed to have that with you all the time.
I'd like to have it be orange or blue.
Well, and I definitely don't want red. I am so embarrassed. When I went to my first meeting, I didn't even tell my husband where I was going because I have failed so many times. I told him I was going to a nutrition meeting. So when I take that book with me when I'm eating at a restaurant, and if it's red, everybody will know that I'm in the program. No, keep it gray.
I think we ought to make it red.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, why don't we take it to the inner group?
Let's have a vote first.
We can vote in our group. How many think we ought to take this idea to our intergroup? How many think we shouldn't?
No.
It passed because a majority rules, and a majority of the people here just decided we wanted to take it to intergroup.
Rats.
I'll go along with group conscience, but I may put a gray cover back on mine when I go to a restaurant anyway, regardless of what color it is.
So now we got to move chairs. And who gets this?
Our inner group will now come to order. Is there any new business?
Need to give it to our inner group rep, which is
the inner group.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Wow, this is a great idea.
Okay. I was at the what day of the week meeting was. The 4 o'clock meeting.
So don't read the whole call.
Okay. Okay, so the great idea is that the Forever Abstinent book be printed with a red cover.
That's a great idea. Are you going to present it? Are we going to vote?
Let's vote.
All right. Everybody in favor of the great idea of having a red cover on our Forever Abstinent, raise your hand. Do you have anything to say?
No. I hate to be the naysayer, but I am still very concerned. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That red color will just, it'll just shout to everybody that we're looking up our cups and our halves and our tablespoons and all of that, and it's just frankly a little embarrassing. I like to fly under the radar.
I was just thinking, those of us who like the gray book, which I do, we can just keep our one that we already have. Isn't that an awesome idea?
Yes, but they keep updating it. And every time they update it, there's something a little different in it. And I need a new one every couple of years at least.
I think we ought to have a vote.
All right. Enough discussion?
Oh, I know. I move that our area take this great idea that the Forever Abstinent book be changed to have a red cover.
To where? Where are we going to take it?
To the area. To our Area 2 meeting.
I second that.
All in favor, say... Opposed? Do we need to have a minority opinion? You're not going to win this one. Okay, next hat. Yeah, we got to move chairs. Oh. Okay.
I am. Okay. I'm the rep.
Okay. Oh, and you're the chair.
Oh, no.
I'm the chair.
On the chair's hat.
Yeah,
chair.
It'll work.
All right. We would like to have the area representative read the motion.
Here's the proposal. The Forever Abstinent book is a very important part of our program. Although our program is not all about the food, we base our abstinence on it. In order to be able to understand the importance of the book and have it used, if it were read, we would be able to find it quicker and use it rather than hunting for it amidst the other drab papers in our lives. The motion is that the Forever Abstinent book be printed with a red cover.
Okay, can we have a discussion here? Any pros or cons about this motion?
Well, I'm colorblind, and they all look gray to me.
And I'm sexy, and I love red. Let's go for it.
I took this back to my inner group, and I just want to say that we talked about it, and we talked about organization, and we talked about that things that are important to you, you have a tendency to find them when you need them. For example, not everybody's wallet is red. Not everybody's keys have a red fob on them. And so, you know, And another thing that we talked about in our inner group was that perhaps the reason it's been gray these last several years is because it's cheaper to print gray books than it is to print bright red sexy books, although I like red and sexy myself. But not necessarily on my book. So I did take it to them, and so I feel I have an obligation to respond as my inner group feels. We feel it just needs to be kept gray.
And I'm the inner group rep for Colorado. And all the members at our little Monday meeting at 4 o'clock agreed, and our inner group meeting agreed, that the book ought to be changed to red.
Would we start calling it the red book then? I like the gray book, and I have lost it on occasion, but it wasn't because of the color.
Well, I like the idea of red because it looks like an apple or some sugar-free Jell-O.
You know, I think the red, though, would make this program a lot sexier.
It has red letters on it.
That's not sexy enough.
Well, we have a point of order. We have a motion on the floor to take the motion here to from our area to the WSBC meeting. All in favor, I'm going to move that we take this motion to the WBC meeting.
Can we just stop for a minute and have a serenity prayer first for our group conscience?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
All right, let's take a vote on the motion that's on the floor. Has it been seconded? Okay, thank you. After, all right, let's take a vote to see if this idea should go to the WSBC. And have a committee write it up. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion passes.
Welcome, delegates, to the WSBC World Business Service Conference. As you know, you're all representatives here from your various areas. We ask you to vote with your good conscience after you hear all the information that you have with our policies. As you know, this is our governing body, but it comes from you, the individuals. We will be using Robert's Rules of Orders in our parliamentary procedure. And the first thing we're going to do, please, is policy number one from Area B. Would you like to propose your motion?
I move that the FA book be printed with a red cover.
Do I read the proposal part?
Proposal. The Forever Absent book is a very important part of our program. Although our program is not all about food, we base our abstinence on it. In order to be able to understand the importance of the book and have it used, if it were read, we would be able to find it quicker and use it rather than hunting for it amidst other drab papers in our lives. Motion that the FA book be printed with a red cover.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second the motion. Delegate Area 2.
Discussion. We will hear pros and cons.
I have a hard time finding the gray one, so yeah, I think having red cover will definitely be a benefit to me.
I'm wondering if the costs of reprinting in red would be too much, and then would it just fade or bleed onto other papers?
I think we ought to do a cost study on what should happen here.
I'm just real comfortable with the gray book.
Yeah, I'm concerned too because, you know, our funds are low, and to me, we need to be spending our funds on other things besides printing. So I really think that we need more information before we pass this motion as to how much it will cost to print this book. Surely there's a reason, and I'd like to know what the reason is behind it being gray all these years anyway.
Well, my comment is a pro, and I think it was a great idea that came from our area, my area, or our area, and that we should move forward on this and call for a vote.
I really like the gray book. I like saying gray book. Red sounds a little evil.
But red is sexy. It really, you know, there's a lot of drabbiness about every single day weighing and measuring your food, and you add a little spice into it, spice is red, right? So spice heals sexiness. Change it up. Come on. Maybe the reason why it's gray is because we're so black and white, right? We really need some color.
I don't know. I think this discussion is over. Maybe we should call for a vote. So, Madam Chair, I call for a vote.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, the motion is as follows. Where's the motion? Oh, you put it back. Ooh. We have a compulsive cleaner-upper. Rip it out. Okay. All right. Motion as stated that the Forever Abstinent book be printed with a red cover. Those in favor, please raise your hands and count off.
1, 3, 4, 5.
Those opposed?
2, 3.
Motion passes. Unless someone has a calculator out there. Motions pass at 2/3 of the vote, so it probably didn't pass. Okay. Are these wonderful women who have never known each other before today? Thank you, Bill. Of course, this was a fun one. A lot of motions, every motion that comes to the WSBC are important. Someone somewhere felt it was an important thing, it was going to help in our recovery. And we just wanted to illustrate how it goes through the motions, okay? There isn't someone who sits there and says, oh, this is a good idea, let's make it a rule. Our group conscience and our higher power drive us the whole way, all the way here to the WSBC conferences. The WSBC conference delegates come from you. First of all, you are a member in recovery, and you start your service ladder. It might be something as simple as cleaning up. It's something as opening up the door to make sure people can get into the locked door. We have a key person. We have a literature person. You have a treasurer, a secretary. You have a greeter. You have a sponsor person who talks to newcomers and gives them ideas on how to find their sponsor. And that's all at the individual level. And if we did not have that individual level, we would not have anything. That is where our heart is. That is where our people are. In those individual meetings, an individual is elected or appointed to be an intergroup representative, and they meet with the other meeting members to collaborate, to visit. Every single meeting starts out with the Serenity Prayer. We all know that our higher power is the leader of that meeting, no matter who the chair or the leader is at the time. In the intergroup meetings, area representatives are elected or appointed by consensus, by group conscience. They go to the area meetings. Area meetings are often telephone conference calls because of geographical areas. And it's usually quarterly. One of the quarterly meetings can often be during this annual convention because it's convenient. The area representatives go as are also, they become elected as delegates to the WSBC Business Conference, okay? So it starts with you, the individual person. That's how important you are. And that's how important it is to say yes to service. What we'd like to do now is just kind of ask the members here to share what services they have done and what they've received from it. And I'll start out quickly. Like I said, my very first one was just putting out the literature and taking care of the tables, making sure everything was ready. And then at the time when I first got into the meetings, we were still fairly new in Colorado. It was only like 2 years old. We did not have an intergroup yet because we didn't have enough meetings or membership. The person who started the first couple of meetings in Colorado came from California, and he had a lot of abstinence behind him and a lot of experience in starting new meetings and taking care of business. And so when I got there finally, one of the main goals was to talk about forming an intergroup. So we hadn't had one yet. One of the reasons we didn't have one is we didn't have enough meetings and we didn't have enough abstinence yet because we were brand new, so there wasn't a lot of abstinence to do that level of service. Well, we formed our intergroup and it was a big deal. It was wonderful. And this particular person, and I'm sitting here just like you guys, you know, I'm sitting here at the meeting, I'm going, this is really cool, tell me what it is, you know. And this person nominates me to be the chair of the intergroup. And I'm thinking, the first chair of the intergroup ever in Colorado. Well, my higher powers said yes, and my mouth said it. My mind is going, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? So I learned a lot because I was never alone. Never was I alone. I had my higher power. I had the membership. I had people. You know, in the 80s and 90s, the big thing was people. You have to network. You have to have your people. We have our people. We're all sitting here, right here. We are our people. Anyway, so I did that, and then we were very small as far as abstinence requirements, and so the person who was going to be our area rep was not able to go. Can't even remember the reason. None of my business. And so they had asked if I could go to be the area rep. So I went to, I think it was in Texas. Or maybe it was here in Las Vegas. Anyway, I went to two area meetings, and the chair of the meeting at one time, she was stepping down, and she talked to me, and she says, I want you to consider being chair of Area 2. And I said, what does that mean? And my higher power said yes, so Lorraine said yes. And so I had the privilege of being the Area 2 chair for a while. Through that, I became a delegate to go to the WSBC. I stepped down from chair, and I became delegate to WSBC. And so I had about two or three World Conference meetings that I was privileged enough to represent the sponsor, the Colorado Area 2, the membership. And a member of the board who is not on the board right now, but she was quite an active member, looked at me and she goes, Well, I'll tell you why. I was on the literature committee, and I was up at the microphone a lot during the motions, and I kind of, you know, had a lot to say because, like I said, I'm a compulsive speaker. And she looked at me, and she goes, why have we never gotten an application for you to become a member of the board? And I said, well, I have some obligations, and I told her a couple of them, you know, and I said, but I'm thinking of it. And she says, good. She says, think of it very seriously. Well, the next year, I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I was approached again by someone, and I didn't need it for an ego. None of this is ego. None of this is ego. But it was just the right time. My higher power said, you've got to do this. And so I applied to be on the board, and I was elected in. And it has been an incredible experience. It has been a wonderful experience. I am anxious now to go back to the individual meetings and to be even more involved in the grassroots program again and to be within our meetings. Our meetings are suffering like a lot of other people's meetings. There's fewer and fewer members coming to the meetings, and they think the program's too hard. We all know the program's simple. It's easy. No, it's not. It's a simple program. It's just not always easy. And it's time for me to take my recovery and bring in the new people again and to really do the 12th step. I am not a good 12-step person, and that is one of the things I need to work on because my higher power is telling me this. It's easy when you're first in the program and people watch the pounds drop. How do you do this? Can you tell me about why you're doing it? Well, the people that I work with now and even my family, they forget, you know, that I had 88 more pounds on me, you know. They don't, and the people I work with right now, most of them don't know that I was like that. You know, so I don't have that open opportunity to share my program with them. They watch me eat my lunch every day. They see that I do certain things that maybe other people don't do. Where I work, it's a grazing ground for things. So they see how I'm able to disconnect myself from stuff. You know, and there are days when I know not to go up to that room. I say, yeah, that's not for me today. So I walk away. But that's service as well. Sharing my program with people in the correct way, you know, attraction versus promotion, that is service as well. And service is really important. And that's how it works. That's how CEA How works, is because we all say yes to service. We don't sit back and let other people do it. We share it with other people. We are CEA How. Each individual person is CEA How, and that's how it works for us. And that is our tools. And that number six tool, it's not number sixth in line of things to do and places to go. It just happens to be there in number six, okay? All seven tools we do every day. We do all seven tools every day, all the time. That is our program. I would like these lovely ladies to share the level of services that they have done and what they have received from it. Then when we're finished, we'll open it up for you too. So thank you very much.
I'm Sue Ellen, and I'm a compulsive eater. I would like to share that I came in to this program on January 11th of 2011, and when I first came, there was only the one meeting that I was going to, but there was a person who typed up a We Care list on a spreadsheet, and when she left, that was something that I wanted to do, so I took that over, and I really enjoyed it, and now we have seven meetings and tons of people. And we don't do that anymore. But then for the area meeting that I went to, there was a big, giant, long list, and I did type that up and share that. So that was one kind of service that I did. I've also led meetings and sponsored, but I haven't kept my 30 days abstinence for a long time, and so I'm unqualified for some of the levels of service. And I want to say that what I do is I reach out to people after meetings, and I'm working on my abstinence. I'm on day 11. And I wanted to say that I'm a recipient of much service because of this walker. One of our meetings is upstairs in someone's home, and obviously I don't carry this up the stairs. But and then other meetings, people carry it for me, and they carry my purse. We have another meeting in a store on the second floor, so someone has to carry my walker up. But I appreciate very much the service that has been given to me, and I love giving service, and I look forward to the day when I can lead again and be a, let's see, what are you, being a sponsor. Actually, I'm not looking forward to being a sponsor. I guess I'm afraid of it. But there's probably other people who could benefit from me being a sponsor if I give it to God. Thank you.
I'm Ann, the compulsive eater. I've been around the program a long time, brief periods of recovery followed by still greater relapse. I moved to St. George from California, St. George, Utah, 2 years ago, and about 6 months ago, we tried to start a meeting, and my friend who's always off to Mystic said, do you know we've doubled? We went from 2 to 4. So there are lots of jobs there. And we all wear many hats, but we just keep plugging away. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jenny from Utah, compulsive eater.
Hi, I've been in the program for 16 months. My service began by, of course, becoming abstinent and helping set up and clean up in meetings. And then after 30 days, sharing. And I soon became a sponsor, and I've been sponsoring ever since then. And in two different meetings, I'm a literature person for the group. I also have been a secretary for another meeting, and I lead a phone bridge meeting once a month. And service has really been a blessing to me, mainly just pulled me out of the isolation and the self-bondage, helped me look outward and see that I can be helpful to others through my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jerry, compulsive eater from Seattle, Washington. It's really wonderful to be here, and service is freedom from bondage of self. I just love hearing that. I've been in the program since February 4th, 2008, and I've had the privilege of serving at different levels. I've served as an Area 1 delegate for two different conferences and learned so much. I really appreciate the parliamentary process that we've given an example of here, and how important each and every one of us is to the program as a whole. And doing service is wonderful. And currently we have a small group in Seattle. Sometimes it's on again, sometimes it's off again, depending on people's lives, and which is fine. I still try to stay there, you know, and be the pillar. You know, if someone wants to have a meeting, I'm there for it. So, you know, I'm just really grateful that, you know, I can keep the fire burning, you know, and be the best representative that I can, one day at a time. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rhonda, and I'm a compulsive eater from Fort Collins, Colorado. And my first service position in my little Monday 4 o'clock meeting was they let me be the key person. And I felt that was an honor and a privilege to be able to open the door for the meeting. And that's about all I could do when I was first new. And then all of a sudden, you know, abstinence came, and then other opportunities came to be in charge of the literature at the intergroup level, and then the next thing I know, I go to an Area 2 meeting, and then we hosted the Area 2 meeting in Colorado, and we had a lot of people from all over the country come, and we just had a great time. And then we had a business meeting, and somebody had to step down, and then next thing I know, I had about 2 years of abstinence, and they said, you qualify to be an area delegate, and I don't know if I got railroaded, but I was nominated, and like services, yes, okay. And then I had no clue, no formal training on how to be an area delegate. What's that? You know, how do I do this? And it was really just a process of showing up. This is my third WSBC business meeting, and I feel a little more relaxed because I've had met some similar people and have a better understanding of how our fellowship works as a whole. It's a work in progress. So I am amazed at how this fellowship works together, and that I don't have to be in, I like to be in charge. I'm an in charge kind of person, and I don't like to ask for help. And it's been a real struggle to admit that sometimes I have shortcomings and I don't measure up to my service position and that I fall short of my ideals of trying to do it perfect. And so that's been humbling, but it's also a good learning tool for me. So service has helped me be aware of some of my character defects and that it's okay not to do it perfect and that we're all here to help each other. So if I ask for help, I get the help I need. And that's been one of the key things that I've been learning in my service positions. And it's just been an incredible experience. Being of service at the different levels has helped solidify my abstinence. You know, that's, you know, what she says, service is the greatest gift to ourselves. And I think that also service is the secret. The secret that to stay, you know, to keep our seat and see how, and to give away what we find and join us, because it is a true freedom from our compulsive eating. And didn't know that service was going to be so important in maintaining my recovery one day at a time, one meal at a time. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
I'm Elaine, and I'm from Utah. And I've been in the program since 2011. And shortly before I actually had a full year of abstinence in the program, Utah decided to form an intergroup. We were part of the Las Vegas intergroup until that point. And so we held a meeting, and lo and behold, I got elected as the chair of the intergroup. And again, it was a frightening and position that I was hesitant and tentative about taking on, but I did it for 2 years, and then I got elected to be the intergroup representative to the Area 2, and I went to that meeting, and I've been in that now for a couple of years, and now this year I got asked to be a delegate and was totally blown away by the process, and grateful to have been part of the things that have happened this past week in that meeting. And I'm grateful for my abstinence. I'm grateful to my higher power that led me to the See How group and has enabled me to have freedom and shown me a new level of spirituality that I thought I already had. I thought I was a spiritual person. Come to find out, I was not, and I have been grateful to my higher power for this program and for the learning experiences that I've gone through. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carol O., grateful compulsive eater from Norman, Oklahoma. Lorraine asked us to share our levels of service and then our personal experiences. And so my levels of service, I had a sponsor, and I know people have talked about the different secrets of See How, and for me, that one of the secrets is a sponsor who grooms you from the get-go about gently pushing you about what you need to do. And so from the beginning, she pushed me. I'm a full-service sponsor now, but she pushed me to become a sponsor. And then she pushed me to become the secretary of our inner group. And then she pushed me to become the inner group chair. She was gently pushing me. I'd come with her to, on my own, to World Service and the area meetings before I was qualified to do those kinds of things. And then she pushed me to become an area rep and a delegate. And so, and then I temporarily was the vice chair of the Area 2, and now I'm the secretary of Area 2. And as secretary, I feel like I have the opportunity to do a lot of service because Judy Kay is our chair and Janann Y is our treasurer. So I'm constantly getting things from both of them that need to be sent out or duplicated or processed. So it's been a great opportunity to be of service. I would tell you that the scariest service was becoming a sponsor for the first time. The anxiety and the fear that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't smart enough, that I wasn't thin enough, that I didn't know enough, scared the pants off of me. I just didn't feel qualified to do that. And once I took that leap of faith, then the other things followed a little bit more easily. And the reason was I knew, as Lorraine said earlier, in this fellowship, we're never alone. And that's the only reason that I accepted the service positions I did, because I knew it wasn't up to me. I knew my higher power would guide me, and I knew that people here on earth in the fellowship would help me as well. So that's the scariest level of service, is the sponsor level. Since then, I've sponsored people from Russia and from all across the nation that I've never, ever yet met, but it has been a blessing. And just as my sponsor told me early on, and I tell my sponsors, they bless me every day far more than anything that I do for them, and I believe that. As far as why, or sharing my strength, hope, and experience, I've been married to the same man for 44 years, patient, loving, kind, smart man who puts up with me. And on Sundays, we like to listen to music, whether they are hymns or whether it's classical music, and then we talk a lot. And he asked me the other day, as I was getting ready to come and making sure minutes were done and distribution lists were ready, and everything takes three times longer, I think, in our service than we think it will. And I think service is thankless in many means. We appreciate it, but it's just those jobs of putting chairs away and things that are thankless service. And so Bob asked me, he said, "Honey, why do you keep doing this? You've already lost 50 pounds. Why is this so important to you to do it and to do it to the best of your ability? You're not even being paid for this. What keeps you going? You've lost your weight already." I really had to think about it, because it's hard to put into words those things that are so nebulous and yet you feel so strongly about. And I said, "Because it's about doing something that's greater than myself. And this fellowship is being a part of something that's bigger than me. And sometimes when I feel like I need to do something, I need to step up, I need to speak, I need to do service, I can't really explain it. But it's just this kind of burning inside of me that starts at the bottom and goes up through my throat and inside of me, and I just have to do it." So service is the greatest, it's the greatest, service is the greatest thing to ourselves. And the other thing that keeps me coming is I'm humbled. And as we've done our business meetings this year and then last year I was blindsided. As someone said, you know, you don't have any prep book to let you know how to be a delegate or how to be a rep. And that first year, I was just blindsided by the knowledge of the delegates and by their ability to get up and speak to different issues. And I was really blown away after three different times during last year's business meeting that somebody called for the Serenity Prayer. And when they did that, and there were strong emotions on both sides of three issues that I remember, three times the Serenity Prayer was called. And after that happened, the issue was just diffused. It was really about principles over personalities. And I've been a member of a lot of organizations in my life, from church to sororities to just different kinds of things. And I've never, ever, ever in my life experienced the serenity and the peace and the collaboration and the being able to move forward after saying that. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the work that went into putting this skit together. Grateful for our board, and I'm grateful for our meetings and the way that we truly do follow our inverted pyramid, that our higher power is first, we're next, and then all of this is at the little tiny tip of it. So thank you for allowing me to be of service.
My name is Becky, and I'm a beautiful daughter of God. I'm from Utah and started this program on February 23rd, 2009. God released 130 pounds on me, and thank God I've kept it off, even though I've been in and out of this program multiple times. I'm a motivational speaker and an author and do a lot in the media. So the first week of me being in this program, let me start back. We started here in Vegas. This beautiful angel in my life invited me to come down to this, and I had no clue what it was about. And we walked in, and I don't know where Ruth is, but I ran into her yesterday, and I said, "You changed my life." I was sitting there at 266 pounds, and Ruth was telling her story about how she would babysit and cared more about the food than she did about the kids. And I was like, that is me. I don't know what this program is. I don't know who these crazy people are, but I'm starting it. And my friend was like, "You're not ready yet, you know?" I said, "Get me the fattest person in here that's lost the most amount of weight. They're going to have to beat it out of me." And I went to her and I said, "Will you be my sponsor?" And I said, "You're going to have to be really hard on me because I'm really stubborn." And she goes, "That's not how this works." And I learned through the steps how to love and embrace myself. And the reason why I joke about sexiness is my name is Bexy. Find your sexy with Bexy, right? Because it's not a doing, it's a being. So to the service, I always say you cannot keep what you do not give away. When we started this, I remember we were sitting outside of the trunk of someone's car that was the literature person here, and she said, "Becky, we need to start a meeting in Utah." There was no meetings in Utah. And I had, "What are you talking about? What meetings and what is this?" Right? So we went back to Utah. They started with four people. We now have 15 meetings. Because one person started in Utah, and this woman had the courage to share it with me. Ruth had the courage to share her story. I share my story. But I was 12-stepping. I was one of those people. I'm kind of big mouth. So if I find something that works, I want to give my hand to somebody else. So we immediately made cards. I'm a graphic designer, so I made cards, and we used to pass those around. And everywhere we went, this is when I was married at the time, my husband would be like, "Seriously, can you shut up about this program?" I said, "You don't understand. When you've been struggling with somebody, something your entire life, how can you hold it back? How can you not share it?" Now, I have gone into hiding several times because I've been in the weight loss business, and I've realized over the last 7.5 years that most people are not going to do this. They're not going to do the work that's required to get what we want. And I always say, you want what we have, you got to do what we do. And with the grace of God, I don't have all my weight back on. But I'm so grateful that I'm out of the compulsiveness right now. I'm grateful that this program taught me how to get out of other compulsions in my life, and I'm not perfect, right? she'll tell me. And service is freedom from bondage. I love what she said. Service is the secret sauce of this program. And so sponsoring is a big thing for me. I mean, I don't even know how many people I'm sponsoring right now because I always say I'm available. I'm just available and available, and God will tell me when it's time to say no. But for as long as there's somebody out there that needs a sponsor, and I sponsor very differently now than when I first started in the program. I used to say, "See, how was my life?" It had to be my life when I first came in. It's now just part of my life. It's very, very different. I'm so much more loving and kind with myself. When I first did this for 2.5 years, I didn't go to bed until I had my outreach calls done, right? Calling Hawaii, right? All the people in Hawaii. And now it's just like, you know, I do the best that I can, and this is how I'm able to maintain. And I'm grateful. I haven't gotten up to some of the higher positions, and it's just I haven't felt called to it. But I think every single person is important in this. And so I do. I always say I'm from heaven. People say, "Where are you from?" I'm from heaven, and I work for God. And sometimes he has me do different things in public. Sometimes he has me write books and do radio shows and all of those kind of things. So, and I always say it's not about me. It's about being in service to the next fellow struggler. Because if I can give them just an ounce, a little tiny bit of the peace that I now feel from being out of the compulsion, hallelujah, I'll do it every day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing in this workshop. I thought that we had a little longer time, but I looked at the schedule, and I'm keeping you away from the next thing. I do have something I can share if you have the time to stay after we dismiss. We had a wonderful presentation during WSBC about the different levels of service, and I couldn't get them blown up enough for people to actually see. So I'm going to have this available. Will this be digital on the web? This will also be on the website, but if you would like to see how the structure is, and if I can give you any explanation or help you in any way, I would be very happy to. But I would like to end the session with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.